Welcome to Flock Journey Podcast by Hoover's Hatchery. I'm your host, Kelsey Spotts. At Hoover's Hatchery, we want to support you in raising chickens from our family farm to yours through your entire flock's journey. Whether you're an experienced backyard chicken owner or a new flock owner, there will be something here in store for you. Today on Flock Journey Podcast, we are talking with Hannah Sanders. Hannah is a homesteader from Alabama, and she also owns a photography and art business. About 1 year ago, Hoover's Hatchery started working with Hannah as a blogger on our Diary of a Chicken Owner series, where she raised Red Rangers and then raised colored egg layers and took everyone along the weekly journey with her. We have talked with her today about meat birds. We're actually going to split this episode into two today. So on Tuesday, we're going to be discussing the different kinds of meat birds that Hoover's Hatchery offers. And then on Thursday, you can join us and we're going to be talking about the processing of the meat birds and what is needed to do that. So we hope you enjoy this conversation with Hannah Sanders.
Hannah, we're so excited to talk to you today about meat birds. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be on your podcast.
We're so excited to have you. We've been working with you for, I think, almost a year now. So all of our listeners can catch up with what Hannah's been up to the last year with our Diary of a Chicken Owner blog on News from the Coop. Hannah, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your experience with raising meat birds?
Sure. Well, I live in Alabama, as you can tell by my accent from the South. My husband and I have, I would say, like a little hobby farm. And we live here with my three-year-old daughter, Skylar. We don't have a ton of animals. We've had cows before and horses, but right now mostly we just have chickens and some ducks and big dogs.
Yeah, you do have big dogs. I've seen pictures of your dogs. How do the dogs do with the birds?
They actually do really well with them. We have two Great Danes and one that's like a Jack Russell Terrier mix. And they definitely acted interested in the chickens when we first got them. So after scolding them a few times, they leave the chickens alone and totally don't bother them. They're cool with them.
Oh, good. That's good. We're going to, like I said at the beginning, we're going to talk about raising meat birds. Can you tell us a little bit about how raising meat birds is different than raising laying hens?
Sure. Well, they obviously both arrive the same when you order them. They're chicks. But right off the bat, you'll notice that the meat chicks have really big legs. That's one way you can tell them apart from the laying hen chicks. But it requires a little bit more forethought and some more planning, and you need some equipment if you're going to have meat chickens. But when they first start out as chicks, it's pretty much the same. But like I said, you do have to plan when you have meat chickens more so than just laying hens.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by that? What do you have to plan for and what does that look like?
You want to get them at the right time of year. You need to plan out about 3 months in advance and already have your equipment for processing made or purchased. And one thing that you really need when you have meat chickens is like a chicken tractor, which is sort of like a chicken coop on wheels, because you're going to be moving them to new grass every day.
Yeah, very good. As far as feed goes, what do they need different? You mentioned that they should be on grass during the day. How is their feed different than their layer hens?
Sure. So when you get your baby meat chicks, so it sounds so wrong to call them meat chicks. My parents are always like, do you have to call them meat chickens? That seems so crude, but well, that's what we call them. But yeah, so when you get your baby meat chicks, they do require a little bit more protein than laying hen chicks. I think the recommended protein would probably be like 20 to 22%. And that needs to be in chick crumble form. You can get it medicated or non-medicated, that's up to you. And you give them that for about 4 weeks. And one thing that's important to mention is that meat chicks will eat and eat and eat. So you need to only feed them one time a day. So what I do when I have the babies is I'll fill up their little feeder in the morning and throughout the day, they'll eat it. But when it's gone in the afternoon, I don't fill it up again until the next morning. As long as it seems like they're all getting to eat, then you just need to feed them once a day, because they will just pretty much eat themselves to death sometimes. Right. But so after about 4 weeks, you can lower the protein level to about 18 or 16%. And you can do this when they're old enough to eat pellets. So maybe about 4 or 5 weeks old, right. I just switch them over to pellets. I actually give mine layer pellets at that point because that's 16% protein. And I've never had any problems with that. They always seem to grow just fine with that.
Good. No, that's good to know. You had mentioned that, you know, that they'll eat themselves to death. And yeah, we're aware of that here at the hatchery. One thing I just wanted to see if you've experienced that they will act like they are starving still. Because we've had before too.
Yes, you're right. Sometimes they do, especially I've had Cornish Cross and the Red Rangers. The Red Rangers don't have quite the same appetite as the Cornish Cross, but they do act really hungry and like they would just eat and eat. And especially in the evening, if their food's gone, they run up to me and they think, oh, she's going to give us some more feed. But you have to try to resist the urge and just wait till the next morning to feed them so they don't overeat.
Absolutely. No, thank you for clarifying on that. That's perfect. You had mentioned Red Rangers and Cornish Cross broilers. So that's the two meat birds that we offer here at the hatchery. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about what the difference is between the two?
I have raised both Cornish Cross and Red Rangers on separate occasions, several times. So the Cornish Cross chickens are, of course, what you see in the big big chicken farms and the long chicken houses. And that's the kind of meat chicken that's used at the grocery store. They grow very, very quickly. I think that they're ready to be processed at like 6 to 8 weeks old. Right. And that is good for industry because they don't consume as much, they're ready faster, and they're huge. Right. But they have a lot of health problems. Mm-hmm. That's just due to their biology. When I've raised the Cornish Cross in the past, even though we had them on the pasture, they didn't really seem super interested in eating grass or getting up and looking for bugs. They just sort of wanted to sit by the feeder and eat the feed. And I think that it's not their fault. Their bodies are growing so fast that their body's energy is being, used to build muscle and bone really, really quickly. So they don't have a lot of energy to get up and walk around and run around like the Red Rangers do.
Right.
So, like I said, they're ready in about 6 to 8 weeks. Now, the Red Rangers, they are ready at about 3 months. You can wait a little bit longer. That's up to you. But we did ours right at 3 months old. Like it was like their 3 month birthday. they don't get quite as big as the Cornish Cross. I think that dressed, I would say they averaged about 5 or 6 pounds.
Yeah.
But they were really great for free ranging. We let them out every day when they were old enough, and they spent most of their time looking for insects and bugs and had a much more well-rounded diet and lifestyle.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, those Cornish Cross, they really don't have a ton of energy.
Yeah, they don't. And so when we raised Cornish Cross, we did experience some health problems. Sometimes they would just randomly die for no reason. And I think that maybe they had heart issues.
Yeah.
And when we did process them, some of the chickens had wood breast, which is a genetic thing. If you've ever bought a chicken breast from the store and tried to cut it, it's really, really hard. And it almost is like wood. And that's called wood breast. And that is sometimes something that the Cornish Cross get. But when we did our Rangers, we had no issues with their health, no deaths that were unexplained or anything like that. And all the meat was very tender and soft, and we didn't have any wood breast.
Right. That's good to know. I mean, yeah, we've got customers who swear by the Cornish cross, and we've got customers who absolutely love Red Rangers. So I really think it's, like you said, personal preference and what you can handle at your homestead or your farm. When you you talked about the breast meat of the Cornish cross, can you describe like the difference between the meat in the birds?
Right. So the Cornish cross birds that we processed, they're huge. They were pretty much all breast meat. Right. They look like the big ones you buy in the store. As far as their leg meat and things like that, it was small, but the Cornish cross are raised to have giant breast meat because that's what we eat in America. We eat tons of chicken. But like I said, some of them did have wood breast and we discarded those. So that was waste, unfortunately, that I didn't want to have to waste. The Red Rangers, after they're processed, they don't have quite as big breasts, but they are pretty impressive. I mean, these are still meat chickens. These aren't, you know, your backyard laying hens. They're still pretty big. You can tell that they are meat chickens, but they were more evenly distributed. Like they had big legs and had a lot of yellow fat on them, which comes from their diet. They ate a lot of grass, a lot of insects, and that pretty much means their diet was high in chlorophyll, which means it's healthier for us.
Right. And awesome. Yeah, thank you for describing that to us. That's a question we get a lot here at the hatchery when people are making decisions when they start to raise meat birds.
Thank you for joining us today on Flock Journey Podcast. That was our conversation with Hannah Sanders all about the different types of meat birds. Make sure you tune in on Thursday to hear all about the processing of the meat birds and what you need to do that. She has some really great tips, and she also has some DIY projects that her and her husband have put together. You don't want to miss this episode. Make sure you subscribe on all your favorite listening services, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.